fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Darth Vader has just walked through the studio, so we have to be quiet. Here's where we're at. We're all in the same boat here. We're seeing exactly what we expected as far as them trying to crash the economy, trying to blame Trump, the release of a bioweapon. It's kind of, I mean, we all expected this. This is the deep state. This is the globalist. This is whatever you want to say. Firing back against Donald Trump, against the American people. Now, having said that, we're all trying to measure what is the biggest issue or how we need to be responding. So we have more insight on that today that I'll be breaking down with the great guests we have coming up. We're going to have David Harris Jr. in studio, second hour. Tom Pappert on Skype. Harrison Smith in studio, third hour. But you've seen the news. They're basically canceling everything. Stock market continues to go way down. So I can sit here and read the news, and I will, but I feel like what I want to do here is just have the open phone lines in the first hour to get back to the audience's take, to get back to what are you thinking? What is your pulse? What is your gut telling you? How are you responding to this? What are your plans for the next month? And I'm like back and forth because it's like I'm on the phone with a couple of buddies who I don't try to make it about me. It's just, this is what people are dealing with. Do we travel? Do we not? Do I take a vacation? Do I not? Should I start to just forget about all that and say, how can I benefit personally, financially off of what's happening? Should I look at the stock market and say, well, it's going to go back up. Might as well get in now. Some people are saying that. Others are dumping everything. I'm not an individual that plays the stock market. I'm not a day trader. My point is, these are the things people are thinking, weighing, addressing. And my biggest fear is this, I think, now too. Because we've already seen the hype, the hysteria. I don't know if it gets much worse, unless that is this bioweapon is only in phase one. And if there's a phase two or phase three, which is really when it's supposed to be spiked up and just kills anybody, well, now we're looking at something unprecedented. Would the president let us know if he knew that? Or would he not, thinking it would cause too much panic? So this is where we're at. And again, I got all the headlines. MLB, suspend spring training. Opening day in doubt. NHL season suspended. NBA season suspended. Broadway shutting down productions. List goes on and on. Member Pelosi said, we're not shutting down the Capitol. And she stole the other congressman's line. We'll go down with the ship. Well, Congress shuts U.S. Capitol. House and Senate office buildings to public until April 1st. So can't go to the Capitol. That's funny for me. Everyone has my band now. Now that's ironic. So guys, let's put the number at the bottom of the screen because I just don't want to come on here like a babbling brook saying what everybody else is saying or thinking. Like, what I want to hear from you. A meeting of the minds in the first hour. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Just what is your pulse of this coronavirus? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you planning? Are you panicked? Are you not? CM4's War Room. We'll be right back. It is March 12, 2020. This is the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, live on band.video, shuffling through all the rest of my news right now. Phone lines are jam-packed. And we've just added another in-studio guest, Milo Yiannopoulos, to the schedule. So Milo in studio, end of this hour. David Harrison studio next hour. Harrison Smith in studio, third hour. Tom Papert over Skype, third hour. And like I said, I could sit here like a babbling brook, go over all these headlines. I got all these video clips. It's so jam-packed. I mean, it's just like, sorry. Here's what I'll say, because I got all the news. I got news you haven't heard about that I'll probably get to as well outside of the coronavirus deal, but you're seeing the latest hype. A Brazilian officials that met with Trump positive for coronavirus. Trudeau into self-isolation, coronavirus. Congress shutting off the Capitol to public, coronavirus. Severe shortage of tests, doctors, coronavirus. Broadway shutting down, professional sports shutting down, Italy shut down. But let me just lay out a couple things for you to chew on while we get all your calls lined up and before you come on air to weigh in on this stuff. I feel like Bill Gates should be arrested and investigated. This guy's been talking about bioweapons forever, talking about bringing the human population down to zero forever. 3 years ago, Bill Gates warns tens of millions could be killed by bioterrorism. Every time there's a major epidemic in any country, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is there every damn time. Zika in Brazil, Bill and Melinda Gates mosquitoes. Ebola in East Africa, Bill and Melinda Gates vaccines. I mean, it's the same crap with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Same damn crap every time. Now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is ready with testing kits for home use. But again, it was Bill Gates that's been telling you about a bioweapon killing us all. And now you've got, remember how InfoWars would report on all the secret bases that all the elites had? And then it started to come out with like Matt Lauer and other people in New Zealand. Guardian headline, super rich jet off to disaster bunkers amid coronavirus outbreak. So do they know that this is a bioweapon and this is just phase one? Or are they just in as much panic as everybody else that is freaking out over the hysteria? And then there's this, which it's like I cover some of the things and it's like, okay, to me, this means it's really serious. Hunker down. And then I see this and I'm like, okay, this is manufactured. They're trying to cause a hysteria to crash the economy. How is this even possible? From Yahoo News today. CDC tested only 77 people this week. Coronavirus testing slow around the nation. Slow? That's like non-existent. How is this possible? I'm serious. I don't understand how this is possible, folks. How is it we know about these NBA players having coronavirus? Who tested them? How is it we know about Tom Hanks or Eminem or all these other? Who's testing these people? CDC only tests 77 people? How do we only test 77 people, but yet we're saying we know about 100 new cases every day? The math doesn't add up. Something is wrong here. But maybe there's a balance. Maybe it's some of each. Hey, yeah, it's a bioweapon. But hey, yeah, the hysteria is a bigger threat than the bioweapon itself. Or is there something else going on? But let me tell you, when I'm hearing all these reports, this person positive, this person, 100 new cases, 70 dead. But then 77 tests by the CDC this week? Well, who's testing people? What is going on? How is there a shortage of test kits? What the hell is that? Who's testing the NBA players? Who's testing MLB players? Who's testing all these officials? Where are they getting the kits? Am I supposed to be so naive to think that the president hasn't already been tested? Of course he has. Of course Pence has. They all have. Where are the kits? Where is the CDC? What the hell is going on here? But you see, once you start seeing the panic, the economic collapse, everything shutting down. Because let me tell you, it's almost as if they're hedging their bets too. If it was really that bad, they'd shut everything down. They'd suspend all air travel. They'd already be calling for self-quarantines. They'd already be calling for lockdowns if they really thought it was going to get that bad. So this is more of a CYA. Hey, if it does get bad, we don't want to get blamed for it. We know the NBA works with China. So maybe China calls up the NBA, hey, it's time to suspend the season. Oh, now the NHL has pressure. Now the MLB has pressure. Now Broadway has pressure. Now the NCAA has pressure. So now they all shut it down. So there's all the ripples we have. And let me just do this before we just take one call here in the first segment. Well, you know what? I'll do it at the start of the next segment. Let me go to the calls right now. Let's start it off with John. No, Don. Don in Texas. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Owen, longtime fan.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple of quick points. One is you need to get a person on by the name of Cliff_High. He's on Twitter and on YouTube, and he has actually predicted this in one of his tools called WebBot, where he finds verbiage in his reports called that relate to sun disease. And he has seen this in his reports for many months. And he has recently stated that this is probably in relation to the COVID-19 virus. Secondly, I think this crash has a lot to do with the financial instability in the markets. You're seeing the Fed pump in just this month alone, $1 trillion per week into the repo markets just to maintain stability in the markets. I think that people should definitely go out and buy physical assets, whether it be gold and silver, to maintain their purchasing power, because the fiat monetary system is probably going to collapse.
Yeah, another thing to consider. What do you do financially? How do you weigh this financially?
Oh, one of the things is that I think that if you actually were to go to the bank and pull out your money, there's going to be a cap on the amount that you can actually withdraw, which will then probably cause a panic on a bank run. So,
right. And so that's when we start getting into phase two, phase three, which really the backdrop then becomes, is there going to be a viral outbreak? If it doesn't happen, they can't pull it off. They can still do all the hysteria and try to collapse the stock market and use that as a backdrop. Hey, look, Trump failed the economy. I just don't know if it's going to work. Thanks for the call, Don. Let's go to Mr. Putt in Austin, Texas. Go ahead.
Putt. So I wanted to know, one, did you get to go to the city council today?
I did. We're waiting on the HD report. If it's done by the end of the show today, we will air it.
Okay, and second point was about the Brazilian official. I think he's the media guy for Bolsonaro. So he's getting quarantined. He's getting tested. He's got symptoms, and just this last weekend he was at Mar-a-Lago with Trump and Pence, and also with Bolsonaro's son, which Alex Jones was interviewing at CPAC. So are you guys at all concerned that you had any kind of exposure?
Well, look, I don't try to make a joke of it, but maybe I already had coronavirus. Maybe I already gave it to the crew. Maybe they've already got it and nothing happened and they passed it. So there's that aspect of this too. Who knows? If they actually tested everyone, how many people would have it today and not know it and never even have a symptom? But I don't think the CDC wants us to know that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This is actually perfect. Shrimpzilla, the official mascot of the InfoWars War Room, powers the entire studio with that little treadmill, immune to coronavirus. And I was planning on plugging here. We always try to find new ways to market our products without just doing dry live reads and that boring stuff that nobody likes to listen to. So here's what I'm going to do as the InfoWars store mascot, Shrimpzilla, powers the studio. Here's what I'm going to do. All right. Now, you see this? Do you see this? This is a bottle of Brain Force Plus. Okay? This is a bottle of Brain Force Plus. Now, do you hear this? No, you don't, because there's nothing in it. That is a problem. And so here's what I'm going to do. Every once in a while, I like to do things for the crew. Whatever crew member can bring me a bottle of Brain Force Plus, the first crew member to put a bottle of Brain Force Plus right here on my desk will get a gift. I don't know what the gift is. So whoever can get, I need a fresh bottle of Brain Force Plus on my desk. First crew member to do it gets the next gift that I have. The door has opened. Okay, they're searching. They're shuffling around. Now, I take Brain Force Plus every day at 3, but obviously today I'm out of Brain Force Plus and I'm behind. So it's a bit of an issue. But you can get Brain Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com. It's one of our top sellers. People love it. Read the reviews for yourself. And hopefully somebody from the crew, who knows what happens? Somebody in another crew might have a bottle and they may race in here and beat them to it. So I anxiously await my Brain Force Plus from InfoWarsStore.com. Anxiously. Oh, wait. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're talking coronavirus. And let's go to John in Wisconsin. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Owen.
Hello.
Hey, Owen. I was looking at YouTube, and I saw this girl this lady named Amazing Polly. And she had this whole thing on the globalists and the bankers and stuff getting together. And going over this thing called Event 201. Have you heard about that?
Sam Montoya wins, ladies and gentlemen. That's Brain Force Plus, John, in case you're wondering.
Yep.
That's a bottle of Brain Force Plus. Sam is the winner. So he gets the next gift. I don't know what it is yet, but he'll get it. Okay, sorry, John. Yes, Event 201. Actually, we're going to be having Harrison Smith in studio in the last two segments of the show today, 5:30 Central, and we're going to discuss this event exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of like, what do you think about it? How about that? Before I get into my take, what do you think about it?
I think it's pretty telling, especially the newscast, the mock newscast that they had. Pretty telling, you know, that they're already have this mock newscast and they're banning people on Twitter or YouTube or whatever, you know. And I was like, what the heck, you know.
Well, and the timing too, how it happened in October.
Yep.
And then the virus outbreaks. And it's like, so again, though, we're going to be getting into that with Harrison Smith in the third hour. Very important, which makes it look even more so like a 9/11 type manufactured event to change how the world operates and slowly erode more civil liberties.
He also said that she also had a video of people in the Wuhan area using their phones in order to get past checkpoints and scanning barcodes.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. But again, we're going to be talking about that specifically in the final two segments of the show today. So so be sure to tune into that, John. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Wayland in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Wayland.
Oh, I've never been to heaven, but I've been to Oklahoma.
Wow, you're like a natural Cardi B.
Oh, yeah, man. Totally.
What's on your mind, Wayland?
That Wayland,
Do what?
What's on your mind?
Oh, well, all this media hype is really bumming us out down here in Oklahoma, you know. We get F5 tornadoes every other year, and everybody around here stays pretty prepared for the most part. It's just pretty crazy to see everybody lose their mind over a virus.
Well, and, you know, people want to discount that whole thing of, oh, you know, this X many people die from the flu. Where's the panic? This many people are there. Where's the panic? Like, another one is like, I mean, more people die of opioid overdose than, like, I mean, it's crazy, the numbers. Nobody panics. We still push that on national TV. I think it's fair. Other people discount, like, oh, what, this virus is different. Oh, you're not taking it seriously enough. Oh. No, I think it's fair because it shows the media hysteria. It shows that whatever the actual ramifications of the virus itself are, the media's in total panic. The media's in total hysteria. It's by design. It's by manufactured. I mean, again, compare it, don't compare it, but the numbers don't lie. If we're going to make a big thing about coronavirus, it's nothing with the death count compared to, yeah, other flu strains. Yeah, an opioid epidemic. So, I mean, you, I think it's fair to question that. I think it's a fair point.
Well, yeah, and speaking of hype, you know, I remember back a couple of years ago when the swine flu broke out, and my entire immediate family came down with it, you know, except for me. And they didn't shut down school. They didn't shut down any work.
See, and but that's the difference is they're using this to try to destroy Trump. What, again, whatever the truth with the virus is, it's almost a separate issue, what they're trying to do to the economy, what they're trying to do with panic, and how they're trying to blame it on Trump.
Right. Yeah, and I remember back when the swine flu was big, I mean, I had teachers at my school telling me that my family was going to die and all this bad stuff was going to happen.
And, you know, and see, it just kind of goes to show us again how corrupt the system really is, just on a logical basis, where you'll have grade school kids get taught all day long about how marijuana is bad for you or this or that or the other thing, and you got DARE. The opioid epidemic, opiates, prescription drugs in this country, kill more Americans than heroin, cocaine, meth, marijuana combined. Combined. There's no classroom programs warning you about that. There's no establishment ads warning you about that. No, those get pushed in schools. Those get pushed in mainstream news. So it just shows you how it's all manufactured. There's always a layer behind it with an agenda.
All right. And speaking of opioids, I mean, here in Oklahoma, we got the real bad opioid epidemic. I mean, my little sister even ran into some of it before. She's accidentally got into my grandma's pills a couple of years ago and nearly died.
Yeah, exactly. This happens all the time. I wouldn't even call him a friend, an acquaintance probably, who was from my grade school, tried to kill himself with opioids. And it's like, well, wait a second. He was a young kid. It's like, how did he even get a hold of these things? Same thing. You know, parents' medicine cabinet. No warning about that. No DARE about that. No national crisis about that. It's all about, oh, yeah, weed. Tell your kids not to smoke weed. Like, oh, weed is going to turn you into this and that. Oh, but hey, painkillers are good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No DARE for that. Just kills hundreds of thousands every year.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
And we've been joined now by Milo Yiannopoulos in studio, who actually, we won't talk about this right now, but Milo, you're working on something. You can tease a little bit of it right here. Drag queen story time. What's behind it? Who's behind it? What's the agenda?
I was really working on trying not to get dragged back onto this show.
Dragged?
I was hoping to just escape for a nice, a pleasant, literally
wait a second,
late lunch.
Drag queen story time is happening right now.
Whoa.
That's, yeah. the matrix is breaking down all around you. Do a 360 in your chair. See if the world is still bad when you come back.
I'm getting strangled by the...
See, and now the cord's strangling him. It's a total proof.
Oh, no. I've been strangled. It's all gone wrong.
So we'll talk about that a little bit in the next segment. You know, here's what your attitude to this is, and I really appreciate it. It's kind of motivating me, I'll be honest. I want to laugh at the world freaking out at this coronavirus. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, me too.
Like, I just want to laugh. I want to be like, ha-ha, I'm going on trips for half the price.
Is that how you laugh?
When I'm faking it, yes. But that's how I really want to laugh, is like that. It's like, oh my gosh, like you're going to travel during the coronavirus? I'm going to be like,
buddy. In the face of danger.
But is that stupid, you. Though? So I also don't want to be the dumbass.
I've always thought of you as young Simba, and now you have the...
thank you for that.
Now you have the hair to match.
Well, and I need to just disappear for a while.
A little ginger.
I need to... Actually, my beard has 5 different hair colors in it, if you can believe that.
All of them revolting.
But when you know, mesh together on my face.
They very together popular. Form
very popular. Get off the beard.
Mesmerizingly disgusting.
Look, we're glad you got rid of that dusting that you had on your.
Well, I've this isn't really working either. I have to.
You think you had coronavirus? Maybe I had the coronavirus.
I probably did.
You're not worried about it. You're flying. You're not even thinking.
I'm not worried about it. I'm coming, possibly coming. Well, I think we're coming here next week so that I can talk to you a little bit about the personalities behind. Drag Queen Storytime, which makes me want to go out with a machete and
so that's your next project
to my fellow homosexuals.
Your book came out yesterday.
I'm back talking about Roger Stone, back talking about everything else. But I'll be flying here next week with no trouble. I'll be flying to Vegas just after that for a business meeting with no trouble. I will be continuing to fly without any worries. Yes,
no fear of a coronavirus from Milo.
You can catch it again. Apparently, people are getting reinfected. You can get it again. But no, I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned. The only thing I'm concerned about is the precedent-setting incursions into civil liberty that are being established.
Well, that's a real threat, and I think we're already starting to see some signs of that.
I'm much more worried about that than getting the flu.
Which, if you or I were to catch it, it would probably be just like a flu. You know, we'd get sick, we'd deal with it, we'd get over it.
Correct.
That's what happened to me about a month ago.
Me too.
And so, and you know, who knows what the numbers really are, because... They're claiming the CDC has only tested 77 people. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how we can claim to have all of these.
77?
Yes.
No. Isn't it like 6,500 at least? Where'd you get 77 from?
Yes, right there.
Let me examine this.
Look at that.
Who says this?
Believe that.
Oh, this week. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back. I didn't see that. Oh, Alexander Nazarian. Do you remember him?
I don't trust Yahoo News.
I know, of course. I'm just saying he used to work for Newsweek. He was the one responsible for a lot of the cover stories about Breitbart, Bannon, lots of real shady stuff.
He's like the...
He's now been reduced to reblogging things for Yahoo, which makes me very satisfied.
He's like the new Michael Isikoff for Yahoo. He's like his underling now.
Oh, dear.
But does that make sense? How can only test 77 people?
So more people have been tested than this with the kits. I think what they're saying is that the CDC has directly tested only 77 people.
Now, we're going to have a guest in studio next segment who, actually, I don't know if David Harris did get tested or not. He was trying to get tested because he was at CPAC. Obviously, Raheem Kassam, he was trying to get tested. That whole thing has spiraled out of control. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, what is the latest that you know about that?
Well, Raheem is now in a war of words with the odious Matt Schlapp, who runs CPAC.
Which he's making horrible decisions right now, I think, publicly.
What you have to understand about Con Inc., about Conservative Inc., is that
they don't like us, do they? Huh?
Not very much, no. Nor me. They run to protect the donor class before they care about their, ticket holders and actual Americans. So the name of this guy who was infected, by now I can't remember, Dr. Such and Such, they would not release it. They wouldn't tell you. So if you'd been at CPAC and you'd like met a bunch of people, you had no way of knowing if you'd met the guy or not because they wouldn't tell you who it was. If it's, it's Dr. Whatever, it's like, oh my God, I shook hands with him. You couldn't find out because they wouldn't tell you because he was, VIP backroom donor class kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so they've been continuously making these decisions designed to protect, the money instead of ordinary ticket holders to CPAC. And Raheem Kassam's been holding their feet to the fire about that because he himself may have caught it at CPAC or something like that.
But he can't even get the test kit. He hasn't been tested still.
Can't get, they keep relaxing the restrictions and I have I think that we're about to see a little bit of a panic, because when you relax the restrictions, more people can get test kits, more people can get tested, more people will get confirmed, right? So when you relax the conditions, when you say, okay, you no longer have to have just got back from Asia, you no longer have to have like had physical contact with somebody who has confirmed case, whatever, you can just get a test kit if you want one, or if your doctor says you should have one, suddenly you're going to discover that the confirmed cases go from 10,000 to a million.
Well, I think that's what they're afraid of here is, which would even cause more synthetic panic. It's like, oh my gosh, I have the coronavirus. Like, you know, people will start, their faces will start melting.
Yes.
They'll go buy 10,000 rolls of toilet paper.
Amy Berman Jackson. yes. Yeah.
But yeah. You know what? I think it's good. I'm glad that, you know, if the economy collapses and, you know, the dollar collapses, people will have a lot of toilet paper. I'm sure that will save.
You see, this is stupid. People going to get toilet paper. If you look, well, I'm just thinking from a planning point of view, you know, from like a boog prep or a, you know, whatever. From a planning point of view, if things are unraveling around me and I'm figuring out what should I do, you don't go out and buy toilet paper. You go out and buy ammo so that you can get whatever you need later when society disintegrates. You know, when
this is very important. This is good insight.
For you at home, if you're thinking, oh God, what do I stock up on? The answer is guns and ammunition, because you can then get whatever the hell you need from like later on to protect your family. You know, that's for like, you know, if society really falls apart, which of course it's not going to, in about a month and a half, we'll all be sitting around. None of us will ever have met anybody or know anybody who's met anybody who died of it. None of us will have appreciated any real world consequences of the coronavirus. We'll all be sitting around saying, oh, so that was a load of nothing then.
It was like the West Nile virus, which actually my neighbor did die from the West Nile virus.
But he
was like 80 years old.
That's real. That's like Ebola. You know?
And he was 80. And he was 80 years old. I know you're really upset that professional sports ball and college sports ball has been canceled. You're probably,
Hockey.
How are you managing?
That's the real white genocide, canceling hockey.
How are you able to survive not knowing that you can't watch sports? It must be eating you up inside.
Somehow I'll go on. Well, I'm not really into basketball because that's for black nerds, and I'm not really into hockey because there's no one that I'm interested in on the field. So what I'm worried about is the NFL.
Well, the NFL's in the off season, so I think you're good right now.
Well, maybe as long as the NFL's not impacted, I think I'll live.
And you know what, though? I wouldn't be surprised just to get into the headlines if the NFL makes some weird announcement, like, we're thinking about postponing our season.
In 7 months.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't be surprised. Knowing the NFL is so desperate to stay in the headlines, it's like a drug for them. They may just claim someone has coronavirus just to get back in the headlines.
Is that right?
Yes. Well, believe me.
They've had so many bad headlines with all the silly actors.
No, the NFL doesn't view it that way. Any headline is a good headline for the NFL. If you're talking about the NFL, the NFL's happy.
Okay, well, then we should make them unhappy by moving on.
All right, I'm just glad. Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure that you're okay. You know, all the sports ball's been canceled.
As long as Reggie Bush doesn't catch it, I'll survive.
Well, he's not playing anymore. So when we come back, Milo will let us in.
How much I know about sports is I have no idea if he's still...
Milo will... He's going to recover in the break about sports ball being canceled. He's very broken up about this.
Kiki fun ball is no more.
Handball, pickleball, and then also golf ball. And then also we'll take your calls, and he's going to talk about his next project in the middle of the new book being released, The Trial of Roger Stone. He's working on something else. He'll be back in town next week in studio to really get into that. We'll tease it a little bit in the next side. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Every break, crews coming in. Hey, this shut down. Hey, they canceled this.
Disneyland.
Schools being shut down. Houston area colleges being shut down. All kinds of all over Texas being shut down. San Antonio and Milo, they've shut down.
Disneyland.
He's actually broken up about this. Oh, and you had VIP backstage passes to Celine Dion.
No, I did not.
Be honest.
No, I did it. No, no, you're either a Mariah or a Celine person, and I am not a Celine person. No, I'm not especially broken up about it. But if you are one of the many people out there who loves songstress and Titanic theme song crooning Celine Dion, I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm afraid Celine Dion has postponed two of her shows, one of them in Philadelphia, I think, and don't remember the other one, but if you've got tickets to those,
see how
you
may
have
that?
To wait a little longer.
One
hear.
In Philadelphia. I don't know much about Philadelphia. Just there's one in Philadelphia.
Happens to be a town near me.
I'm not going. But,
So I'm afraid you're going to have to wait a little to hear Celine Dion mosey onto the stage and sing whatever your favorite hit is. What's your favorite Celine Dion song?
I'm not a big Celine Dion person.
The Titanic one.
That's the only one I know. It's like Near Far Wherever You Are. Is that the one?
Yeah. Every night in my dreams.
That's Celine Dion and Titanic.
Well, the other one is Think Twice. That was a big hit. Maybe that was a big hit in
Europe. I thought that was the Spice Girls.
Let's move on, shall we?
I'll take the Spice Girls over Celine Dion any day.
No, but which Spice Girl would you take? In
any of them.
Any of them?
All of them.
Really?
It's getting spicy in here. Hey, guys, will you find out if... Spice up your life. Will you find out if Celine Dion was on any of the Epstein blacklist or travel logs? Because Tom Hanks was, Eminem was, and so it's if you get real conspiratorial down the rabbit hole, they're saying, oh, people on Epstein's list are going to use this as an excuse to not show up for their indictments. Harvey Weinstein didn't kill himself. Harvey Weinstein's cooperating, saying, hey, they were
Harvey Weinstein is actually responsible for the release of this targeted bioweapon, which is systematically...
He farted in court
systematically taking out anyone in Epstein's little black book. You heard it here first, everybody, on the War Room.
It was an anally thrusted weapon.
Too much now.
By Harvey Weinstein.
Why even say that? Is there any evidence that Harvey Weinstein was into that? No.
Well, we know what Harvey Weinstein was doing in Hollywood.
Apparently, he didn't have enough of anything to get up there.
That's a whole nother. That's I don't even
intersex. They said intersex Harvey Weinstein. I'm on the free Harvey train. Actually,
I'm not there. However, I do. I was talking about this yesterday. I do see how he was basically railroaded in this case.
Well, I think it's a bit like the Roger Stone case, which I write about in my new book, The Trial of Roger Stone, available
again. Harvey Weinstein is a total dirtbag. I just want to be clear.
I'm plugging my book. Could you?
Harvey Weinstein is a total dirtbag, but he did get railroaded. All right, go ahead.
I agreed to sit here for 45 minutes.
The Trial of Roger Stone.
Terrible beard.
The Trial of Roger Stone by Milo Yiannopoulos.
Available now at Amazon. Also at stonetrial.com. And if you go to shop.censored.tv, where I host a weekly late night comedy chat show that I like to call an explosion of casual cruelty and righteous indignation. Friday Nights Are Right, it's the name of my show. That's at censored.tv. You can also buy a signed copy of the book, and I will try, I mean, depending on what happens to Roger, I'm going to try to get Roger to sign some of them too, although he's can't really talk about the trial and neither can his lawyer, so that might be a little bit edgy for him. But we'll see. We'll try. Anyway, point being...
When you open the book too, Celine Dion sings to you, serenades.
You open it up and goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's good. I want that as my I don't drive, and I know so little about cars, I don't know what the name of the thing is that you press that makes noise.
The horn?
I was going to call it the bibber.
Yeah, I actually drove Milo to dinner last night. He was like, what is this? Bibber. What is this vehicle? What
Your
is this automotive?
Looks like the one from the sci-fi movie where they go back in time.
What is this automotive device that you have here? But getting serious.
It's a Dodge. You have a Dodge.
So, you're going to just want people to find me now? So... Let me ask you this. We were discussing this in the break. The more you see these closures and everything shutting down,
yes,
the more I tend to believe that all the hysteria is synthetic, and the more I'm tend to just like give it the middle finger and go enjoy life.
That's what I've been doing so far with no consequence, and I don't believe there will be a consequence. And if I have the sniffles and a headache for a week because I caught the flu, who cares?
So you think that's as bad as it would get for you if you got a coronavirus?
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's what the that's what the truth really
I just
is.
I don't really care.
I just feel like if it was really this bad, on the front end, we wouldn't just be closing things down. There'd be all kinds of other things going down right now. They'd be stopping travel. They'd be putting out emergency food. They'd be setting up FEMA camps. Maybe they are doing that just in quiet.
If you look at what they've done and what they haven't done, I think you can see it's all in there, right? So they've got this travel ban. except it doesn't apply to US citizens, so it's pointless. And the UK is excluded, so it's pointless. They haven't grounded air travel, so everyone's still in these hubs in airports where they can
right.
you know, to where they can spread it as far and as wide as possible.
Planes still have the same ventilation system.
Right. And I'm just thinking, like, well, all of the things that, you would think they would do, they have not done. And lots of things they clearly don't need to do, they have done. So, yeah, I'm not buying any of it. I'm bored of the subject. I'm not worried about it. I don't care about it. And I would like to go back to Celine Dion, if you don't mind.
Please. It feels like everyone's just doing CYA right now. All right. Well, tell me, was Celine Dion ever on Epstein Island? I don't know.
I don't know.
Did she fly on the Lolita Express?
On the Lolita Express. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about Celine Dion because I'm not a Celine Dion fan.
Sorry. Had a little corona in my throat. Let's take a phone call from just another Brandon in Texas. Is that Brandon from Just Another? Okay, so this is probably our man from Just Another News channel. Go ahead, Brandon.
It is Brandon from Just Another Channel. Man, listen, I'll be quick because, hey, Milo, I love you guys first and foremost. I'm super glad that the immune gargle 16 ounces is back in stock because, good Lord, I just ordered 4 bottles and thank God that came in when it did. So real quick, regarding coronavirus, no one's really talking about the fact that I heard Trump last night talk about rolling back some crazy taxes that were enacted during a previous national emergency, and that's this payroll tax relief. I really think we need to bust that wide open because if we can flip the script on these globalists and use this emergency to reverse some of the tyranny we've already been under since previous, you know, national emergencies, I think we need to jump on it.
Well, and that could be kind of the silver lining to this. Not only that, but getting back to American independence. You know, people don't point this out, and I meant to say this yesterday because it's such an important point. If it wasn't for the president getting the U.S. not totally independent, but in some more than it was, independent on steel. We're producing steel again, so we're not relying on steel from China. If this thing really broke out as bad as some people think, we'd be done. Oil production. We now produce oil. We didn't do that. We were barely producing any oil. We're now leading the world in oil production. So we're now self-reliant on steel and oil. Now, if the president didn't make those moves when he first got in office, if this was as bad as it got, and we really got, USA could actually be in some serious trouble. But because of that, from President Trump at the beginning of his administration, we're not looking at that threat right now. Thanks for the call, Brandon. Milo, what do you think?
Well, unfortunately, when you asked me to do that 360 in my chair, I pulled out my headset, which I've only just managed to fix. So I have no idea what your caller said.
It's not even fixed. But what do you think, though, about the fact that if it wasn't for President Trump getting the U.S. not fully independent, but on oil, fully independent pretty much, we could produce our oil, and then steel at least moving that direction. If we don't have those two production outputs, who knows what happens if it gets bad? Oil prices would be skyrocketing.
Well, the U.S. is energy independent, and it only has been dependent on other countries by choice as a result of a globalized, you know, world economy. It doesn't seem to me to be... I mean, look, everybody said that Trump's, trade tariffs and all the rest of it was going to be catastrophic for American industry. Clearly, that hasn't been the case. His brinkmanship with China has worked to the surprise of every expert ever in the history of, you know... whatever.
Well, they never thought he'd get in anyway.
No. Well, they've been wrong about absolutely everything since the dawn of time. But all the things that, you know, that Trump is doing as far as, you know, retrenching to a more nationalistic, protectionist kind of economy seem to be working in America, as far as I can tell, with relatively few exceptions. Unfortunately, one of them is medicine, and, you know, that's a Chinese thing.
Could
be relatively independent of all of these things if it chose to be quite quickly.
All right, we're going to get Milo's earpiece figured out here.
Sorry about that, chaps.
No,
it's your fault because you made me spin in my chair, and I tried to make the best of it, but
Well, the COVID-19 will make you do weird things. All right,
it's corona craziness is the
There she is. They did this for you, even though they know I will be upset with them.
You're here. There's nothing I fear. I'm gonna sing that to you right the way through the break. Let's do it.
I'm gonna get the coronavirus. I always thought that the Titanic was the most overrated movie ever.
Take that back.
Yep, take that to the break with you. Titanic sucked.
That.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, every break I'm getting new news, developing news about something that is shutting down due to the coronavirus. The news I've just received is so devastating to me personally. In fact, I'm so heavy-hearted at this point, I'm going to have to hand the mic over to our entertainment correspondent, Milo Yiannopoulos, to break this latest news, if you can handle it, folks. Milo?
Ladies and gentlemen, it falls upon me, the heavy burden of responsibility, to break to you what some of us thought would never happen. Some of us believed this day would never come, that the coronavirus would take out something so precious, a national treasure to which we all cling for hope and solidarity. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my grave responsibility to break to you this afternoon that Ellen DeGeneres has shut down her TV studio. In response to worries about the coronavirus, the celebrated television host has ceased production in her central facility. And I'm sorry to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there will be no Ellen DeGeneres show as you know it for the foreseeable future, thanks to the coronavirus. If you do need some help with this news, please be aware there are suicide hotlines available. You can Google for them online. You can also call into this show if you would like to be comforted in your hour of need. It gives me no pleasure to share this news with you, but if you're there at home, please just know that it will get better.
Thank you, Milo, for reporting that and maintaining yourself.
I didn't know if I could keep it together on that one.
Yes, there is the suicide prevention hotline. Surely, surely fans of the Ellen DeGeneres show are going to be.
It's there
up.
In the name. They always give it to you, don't they? They dangle it in front of you. It's right there. Ellen DeGeneres. What? It's right there for you.
Now, again,
they show us who they are.
Let's go conspiratorial. Was Ellen DeGeneres' name in any of the Epstein stuff? Was she ever on the fly log?
Ooh, yeah.
She hung out with Oprah all the time.
Yes, she's. Do you know when I was at the VMAs, I have never seen a sight quite as gross as that of Ellen DeGeneres walking around the little celebrity pen that was right in front of me and lavishing praise over all of the black rappers and celebrities and ignoring all the other white people. And it was really, I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you'd actually been there to watch it, you would have just literally noticed her sucking up to the rappers and ignoring, you know, her fellow. Like, it was just a really weird spectacle. And this woman who virtue signals for a living, just seeing her actually operate in real life, it was so peculiar. That kind of distinction wouldn't have even occurred to me, except you could just see it happening in front of you. And it was so weird. She's a deeply weird woman.
You can pick it up. It's like an energy field, like an energy force.
You could just see her like zooming in, like she went to Cardi B and then she went to this person and she actually like went round the back of people's seats who were trying to say hello to her.
Did you see the latest from Cardi B?
Go to the next like hip hop star. It was just weird.
Wait a second. Have you seen the latest from Cardi B?
I do not keep.
Guys, we're gonna
keep up with that person.
This is guys. Go to my Twitter. Pull the video. Actually, we'll probably have to censor it. It's insane. I mean, in fact, in that vein, though, guys, let's real quickly go to clips 11 here. Clip 11, guys. Brown power. What do you know about brown power? Well, learn. Get learned real quick.
Brown power is a new song that rallies brown people everywhere. Ilhan Omar.
That wasn't Ilhan Omar. That was Linda Sarsour.
She was in there, too. And then it shows a white guy standing over, quote, brown people,
this
I guess.
This is Riz Ahmed, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know about this guy.
What do you know about this?
So this guy was a young British kind of hip-hop, like emerging star in Britain, and he had a kind of minorly successful acting career. And he's gone major woke. And this is his new thing. It's his, like, farewell to Britain. It's his Brexit breakup song, where he's got 13 minutes of white people searching for and gunning down Muslims. It's absolutely remarkable. And they're all in on this stuff now. It's so peculiar.
Brown power!
Now, hope you've got the message, America.
Yeah. So, here's the joke. Okay, we're having some fun. Because it's so ridiculous, dude, this whole race baiting crap, man.
I was very glad that both of the people who came out chanting that were not white.
By the way, that wasn't planned.
I'm very happy about that. It's just for one split second there, I had visions in my head of their audio feed with us laughing.
Oh, yeah, like they're just on the mic behind
us. Just white powering out.
They cut our mics and they just... But that's the joke. But that's the joke. That's why when I saw this from Now This, which is just total BS, they put out this from Zeshan B. Is that how you say it? Zeshan B. I thought you knew this guy.
No, it was a different one. There's so many.
Oh, so that's not the guy.
No, I just realized it's a different one. There's so many of these. This is actually a different one. It's not the one I was talking about.
But listen, brown power. I'm quoting from Now This. Brown power is a sort of punch in the face to anyone who is trying to stop the browning of America. So they're admitting that. So they're admitting that that's a demographic agenda.
I thought the browning of America was a myth.
I thought it was a conspiracy theory.
We were told it was a myth.
I thought those hillbillies in Trump country made it up.
I was told that was a disgusting, racist myth. Isn't it funny? And you know what's amazing about it is the half-life, you know, the lead time between them calling it a right-wing conspiracy theory and then celebrating is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So deep state is a myth. This is a Alex Jones and far-right conspiracy myth. And then suddenly the New York Times publishes a story by somebody saying, thank God for the deep state, you know? Now the refraction time or whatever you call it is getting shorter and shorter and shorter between them decrying it as a conspiracy theory and celebrating it and giving thanks for it. It's remarkable.
Or how about this? How they've become full-fledged racists in their attempt to fight racism.
I mean, I'm a basically a values, religion, ideology kind of person. I don't care about skin color. The browning of America leaves me with no particular emotional feeling one way or the other.
Well, that's why we joke about it.
Right, but they obviously care quite a lot. They care quite a lot about this thing that I'm basically indifferent to. I just want everyone to be Christian and support individual liberty and live good, decent, morally acceptable lives. I don't care if the person doing so is black, brown, or yellow, but the left really does.
But to me, that's the joke here. It's like, obviously, if we came on air chanting white power, it would be the top story on all the leftist sides.
But it never happens because there aren't...
Exactly.
Because none of us believe that.
But they literally come out and say brown power.
Stuff.
I remember this girl started crying. You may have seen this video. A girl started crying. She has a Latina power shirt on. I think that it was. It may have been brown power or Latina power.
See, that's the only race I do have. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking, ladies and gentlemen. I am prejudiced, but it's against, you know, like cyclists and vapors and stuff like that. Not any.
I can't stand cyclists that are on the road. Like, there's a perfectly good sidewalk. Like, I don't care what the law says. The laws of physics are a car will run you over.
When the day comes when we finally get to choose who gets the rope, it's going to be vegans, cyclists, and vapors. Way before we start looking at anything else.
We may have some vapors
and
in the audience.
We'll get around to other people, but no, look, if you're at home and you're vaping, stop it. You look ridiculous. And if you're using any of the off-brand cartridges, which you probably are, you're going to get either lung cancer or just clog it up with an enormous puddle of tar. I understand that there is a heavy libertarian listenership to the InfoWars network and that there is unfortunately an overlap between libertarians and vapors. I encourage you, please, to care about yourself, not just how you look, because you look like a prat, but also care about your health and stop vaping. If you really want to smoke, just smoke.
That's you think cigarettes are not? You think that
vaping I don't care. Is worse? I just I'm repelled. I am morally and aesthetically repulsed by the sight of vaping.
Vape power. Vape power. Vape power. No. I don't care. I don't smoke anyway.
No vapor has the energy enough to keep that chant up.
I'm just glad that you and I could come together today for brown power.
I'm this is a gift that you have given me that I will always cherish. I will never let go of it.
You're welcome.
This moment on this day was the day that I decided to take a stand, fight the power, say no to oppression, mm-hmm. join the brown power movement. So yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. You it was a big moment. It was a momentous
occasion.
Can we
get pins?
To mark the occasion?
Brown, but they could just be...
Or like a medallion, maybe?
Just the feces emoji, perhaps. Maybe...
Brown power!
Maybe those, you know, on Amazon, you probably don't know, but on Amazon you can get these enormous, like, Diamante Africa things for about $12, you know, like fake gold chains. I'm thinking brown power could just be like...
That's kind of a black power thing. We need, like, maybe, like... Yeah.
I don't know about
like a Montezuma's
stuff.
Revenge or something.
I don't know about any of this stuff. You know, in Britain, we just don't have all these race problems because we don't have this highly funded, highly well-organized race-baiting activist left, you know? We have the same legacy of slavery, some of the same horrors, moral horrors in our history, but we just don't have all of these horrendous racial divisions. It's very sad.
All right, let's take a call real quick with Milo Yiannopoulos. Let's go to Sergeant in California. Go ahead, Sergeant.
In my call, it's a real honor. Thank you for taking my call, Owen. Milo, it's nice to have you riding shotgun. And please, no more Celine Dion. By the love of God, please, no more. Celine Dion.
I promise. I've given it up for Lent.
Oh, excellent. It's not a bad choice. Owen, I wanted to comment kind of on the whole coronavirus hysteria kind of thing. I believe, you know, you've spoken and resonated with me on the, you know, the consciousness, you know, like how we all share this consciousness, this reality that we're all, you know, sharing together and co-creating together. And I believe that this, as the NCAA has just announced that they've cut March Madness, it's not just going to be done without the finish.
Oh, they canceled the whole tournament.
Completely. I am sorry to tell you.
Well, and see, and this is the other thing, too. They sit here on TV, because I saw something on Fox News in the break. They're like, the NCAA needs, like, a basketball czar, or this czar, this. The NCAA is a damn criminal organization run by Mark Emmert, okay? Shut the whole damn thing down. These athletes should be getting paid. The universities make millions of dollars. The students go into millions of dollars of debt. It's a racket. So, you know what? I'm glad they canceled. You know what? Screw the NCAA. I love NCAA sports. I love the athletes. Great. Screw that entire thing. Shut the whole damn thing down. Sorry. Go ahead, Milo.
I have nothing to add.
Sergeant, anything else?
I wanted to elaborate on the consciousness real quick. I believe that this is to herd everybody into a groupthink with like a kind of like a hysteria, and to defeat the individual consciousness, you know, and the individual thought. I believe that this is a concerted effort, and you know the NCAA is in with the NBA a little bit, I think, and they all cuck to China. So I think this is all just a big engineered push by China. If you catch my drift.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a push by China or elements that work for China or Chinese operatives in the West. But like I said, I don't want it to turn into like a. May not be a good example, but like, have you ever seen the movie Surrogates with Bruce Willis? You ever seen that, Milo?
Yes, yeah. I have.
Basically, these people, they live life through surrogates. They never leave their house. It's like mm-hmm. a walking android, essentially. Mm. And they never leave their house. They don't ever see the real world because it's so scary.
I mean, there's diseases and violence.
But that's what I'm saying, though. We're not fully there. We're moving that direction. Now I'm so scared of the coronavirus. I never want to leave my house. Congratulations.
Allegorically, of course. Metaphorically speaking, so many of us are there already.
Yeah. And there's kind of a divide there, too, where the people that aren't there, it's like two different worlds, really. Like, you talk to somebody who's not on the internet, like, they don't know anything that's going on. They don't care.
And they're also real human beings. They're actual human beings who care about things that matter, like their family. You know, like
they have things.
The things that they talk about are real things. They talk about like love, death, sex, money, like actual stuff.
You know what? We didn't even do this. Milo Yiannopoulos is going to be back in studio next week, and he's doing a big new report on the origin and the agenda behind Drag Queen Storytime. So Milo will be back next week.
See you next week.
Safe travels.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Keep up the good
work. Don't cough on anybody. Stay away from Ellen DeGeneres' set, okay? Stay away.
So sad.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's so much developing right now with the coronavirus. Part of me, it's like, I switch my mind like in breaks. Like I'm sitting here in the break, I'm just like, they just showed a graphic from the CDC, updated. X amount of cases, updated. X amount of cases. And then at the bottom, there's a little asterisk, with little small print says, CDC cannot confirm these numbers. What? Why are you showing me them? Fear tactics, man. So I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying the coronavirus isn't deadly for people. I'm saying that at this point, I think the hysteria has surpassed the actual threat. I really do. And I think it's in the same conjunction with Russian collusion, fake hate crimes, all the other crap they've done to try to destroy Donald Trump. Of course they were going to try to crash the economy in 2020 to hurt Trump. Of course they were going to do that. Well, it's no doubter. Now, David Harris Jr., I was hoping would be in studio. Now, he's not in studio. It's for personal concerns. I'm not trying to make him address it on air. I don't know if it's a coronavirus thing because he was waiting to get tested as well. He was at CPAC. So I don't know if he wants to talk about that. But we'll continue to take phone calls. We'll get an update on all this stuff. But we'll start on a little lighter note here with David first, because David, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but this is heartbreaking. Okay. U.S. soccer brings in Latham after arguing women players are less skilled than men. So basically, when they had this whole thing about why don't the women's soccer team get as much money as the men's? Well, I guess the law group or whatever representatives from the U.S. soccer team who argued that men are more skilled than women as the reasoning, well, they didn't like that. So they got rid of him and brought in this other guy. So obviously, women and men are the same. They're not. There's no skill set difference here. So, David, I'm suggesting that you and I pick a sport, basketball, golf. You've got a nice beard. I've got a nice beard. Doesn't matter. Let's join whatever women's sports league we want, and it'll be fair. They shouldn't complain if we railroad women into the ground or block all their shots or outdrive them by 50 yards because there's no skill set difference. There's no biological difference. So I think this is our next move now, David. Forget about politics. Let's go into female sports.
Let's do it, Owen. And again, thank you so much for having me on your show today. I apologize. I could not make it in your studio. I really did want to. Would love to reschedule. And
you owe us a studio visit.
What's that?
You owe us a studio visit.
I owe it to you, and it'd be my honor and privilege to do it, brother. I really did want to be there today. So I apologize. I did have some personal issues that came to light that I could not avoid and don't want to get into. But it's not Corona. I didn't test positive. I'm not afraid I'm going to leak it to anybody or give it to anybody, but we'll just keep it at that. But I do owe you a studio visit. So I will be in to see you, my brother.
So the last I saw though, you were waiting to be tested. You were at CPAC. Obviously it came out. There was an individual at CPAC who tested positive. Last I saw you were trying to get a test kit, but you didn't get the test kit. So where does that stand? If you don't mind letting us know.
Well, no, I have been self-quarantining because I was not sure. Again, all we got from CPAC was an email. There were no specifics as to when the individual was there initially. And of course, we know it was a four-day event. There was 10,000+ people there. So I immediately said, you know what, I'm not concerned for my own health or well-being. I'm pretty healthy. I take a lot of vitamins, a lot of supplements, but I don't want to obviously contract it and then give it to somebody that is susceptible or has a compromised immune system where it could be devastating for them. So I did reach out to the Department of Health here in Fort Worth, Texas, I live just south of there. And honestly, Owen, they have yet to get back to me. I left a message on Monday, and they still have not returned my call. So I'm not sure where they're at with testing. I don't have any symptoms whatsoever. So then CPAC actually came out with another statement that said that the individual that did test positive was there on Wednesday night, did not attend any of the functions on Thursday. Thursday was the day that I was there. So I feel like I'm pretty safe and in the clear personally. And apparently there haven't been any other cases that have come out from individuals from CPAC that have contracted it. So hopefully that's all good news that will continue to stay that way.
And by the way, I mean, look, at CPAC, I'm sure it was the same for you. I mean, I'm shaking hands. I had to shake 300, 400 hands in the 3 days that I was there before I got the kind asked to leave. That was fine. But you know what? I didn't even do the due diligence here of introducing David Harris Jr. So for me, it was like, you know how sometimes you're looking for something, like you lost, you're like, where the heck is it? Like, where's my umbrella? And then someone comes in the room like, it's right there on the table. And you're like, oh my gosh, it was right in front of my eyes. I've been following David Harris's work for a long time. And I just the other day was like, why haven't I asked this guy on the show? So David goes around fearlessly in the face of the threat of liberal mafia hordes, wears his Trump hat. The one that I saw that was like, oh, finally, I found the object I was looking for. He's sitting at an airport and he's unfurling. Yeah, there it is right there. And he's just unfurling his I Support 45 in his Trump hat. Just so innocent. The Trump 2020 smiling, enjoying it. So you've been doing this for years now on airplanes, at airports, everywhere you go. What has it been like? What has it been like to be David Harris Jr. putting on your Trump hat on planes and all this stuff? What has the response been like for you?
You know, the response, Owen, has gotten a lot better. I have been doing this for a few years. I've been championing the president since before he became president. And I feel that it's my duty, especially as a member of the black community. I'm an American first and I'm a Christian first. But because I'm a member of the black community, because of the massive onslaught of negative, biased, liberal, twisted media that continues to want to paint this president a racist, I think it's my obligation to show my support for him in public. And it opens up a lot of opportunity for dialogue where I get to share with people why I support this president. I've had a lot of funny encounters. I had one gentleman, a black gentleman that was sitting right next to me in first class. I get bumped up to first class a lot because I fly a lot. And I wanted to be on the aisle seat because I like to pull my banner out like that to people when they're walking by and get their reaction or response. So I asked him if I could change seats with him. Then I proceeded to set up my tripod, put my phone on there, and then I pulled out my banner, just like you see there with me in the airport. I pulled my banner out, and he looked at me, and he's like, I feel like I've been punked. And I said, why is that? And he's all, because you're actually wearing Trump stuff, and you're supporting the president. And he's like, I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to walk out. But we flew from DFW to D.C., and I had the opportunity to break down the facts on why I support this president and why I believe every member of the black community should, as well as every American that loves family, faith, or freedom should support this president. And by the end of that plane ride, he said, you know, you're the first individual that I've actually had a dialogue with and a communication with, where at the end of the conversation, I understood why you support him. And he said, I've got some research to do, because if what you say is accurate, then it's going to change my perspective. And then he proceeded to actually offer to give me a ride from Dulles Airport into downtown Washington, D.C. So it was a very productive and great conversation to have with him.
Well, and it's so imperative, I think, for Americans to have that conversation. And quite frankly, I probably need to be better. I try to do these things. I end up just getting screamed at, assaulted, and all this stuff. It just comes with the territory here. But, you know, I want to get into something on the other side with you, David, because it's really important. You know, there's this whole thing that the left has done to the black community where it's just like one stream. And if you go against the stream, like somehow you're excommunicated or something. No, it's the exact opposite, actually. And so people like Candace Owens and David Harris Jr., they've realized it, like, hey, I can actually use this to my advantage. We'll get into that on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Making making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
David Harris Jr. is my guest at David J. Harris Jr. Jr. on Twitter. And that's where you can find all his great troll videos for a good laugh, for a good smile, for a good time. Share with your friends. And so what I was getting into, and I want to get David's take on this. The greatest advice, I think that perhaps the greatest professional advice, at least, I ever got in my life was from one of my original mentors who I ended up working for 3 or 4 years. He said, Owen, if you see a void, fill it. If you see a void, fill it. And as soon as you understand it, it makes as much sense as anything else in the world. It's like common sense. And so I believe that's what Candace Owens has done. That's what David Harris has done. And David, I kind of explain it like this. The entire mainstream media or mainstream culture, whatever you want to say. I mean, heck, Democrats even say it now, like, wow, oh, you're not going to vote Democrat and you're black? Like, you're an Uncle Tom. It's like, wow, that seems a little racist. So basically, it's like they want every black person to think the same way, walk the same way, talk the same way. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's black power. Is being all, it's like, oh yeah, all one. No. That's not what black power is. And so when somebody stands up like David Harris and says, no, wait a second, I'm not going to think how you want me to think. And I'm going to go out in public and show how I'm not going to think how you want me to think. And then when someone comes up to me because they've been programmed how to think or how I should think, I'm going to explain to them why I don't think that way. Well, David Harris has now changed the world. That guy he talked to on the plane, his world is completely turned upside down because David Harris decided to swim upstream and leap out of the water and wave his flag. So talk about that experience, David. And I'm sure you've had other experiences, just like the story you told on the airport or at the airplane with the one individual who was like, wow, you just may have changed my mind.
Yeah, it happens a lot. You know, I obviously get the negative backlash. I got that since my first video went viral. I didn't try to get into this space after the third debate between Trump and Hillary. I hopped on Facebook. I had about 1,500 friends, and I just ranted for like 14 minutes on what I felt was at stake for our country. And I listed a lot of the things that Hillary I felt was sideswiping. But for me, as a believer, the number one issue for me is and has been abortion. And what are we going to do about the abortion laws of this country? And are we going to keep on pushing them forward like New York has, to where now they're talking about infanticide like Governor Northam? Or are we going to say, wait a minute, we need to stop saying that it's okay to dismember babies inside the body of the mother and push back on that entire issue? So for me, that was the crux of the issue then. It still is for me today. The Democrats have made no small words about the fact that they'll push abortion anytime, anywhere, for any reason, and up to any point of pregnancy. And it's one of the most barbaric and evil things I think we could do to people. So for me, I had to just speak up and speak out. And that video initially went viral, over 400,000 views. And from there, I started a page and just continued to share my viewpoints. And because of the fact that I am a member of the black community, it seemed like my messages were received differently than what people are used to hearing from the mainstream media. You know, when you hear nonstop attacks against this president, calling him racist and every vile and evil thing in the book, but especially, you know, that he's a bigot and racist. And you've got somebody of the black community that's saying, wait a minute, no, I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's accurate. Well, it's kind of positioned me to have a louder voice in this space. And I appreciate the opportunity to wake anybody up. So I have had a lot more conversations than I did with just that one individual. I had one just a couple of weeks ago. I think I was in Nashville with actually one of the flight attendants that was she was behind the counter checking me in. And she was a black lady. And she had honest questions, and I was able to give her honest answers with facts. And it was enough to make her say, I need to go do some research because what you've said makes sense. So I know that we all have a part to play. I'm just trying to play mine. You know, I wrote a book about my experiences of seeing what this president's done, seeing what I believe Barack Obama was trying to do to our country. You know, I was initially excited about the opportunity to vote for a black man as president. But my mom always taught me, and especially when I started paying attention to politics, she said, pay attention to how politicians vote, not what they say on stage. And when I began to look at how Barack Obama had voted and that he had voted against bills that would give medical treatment to babies that survived abortions and that he had voted in favor of partial birth abortion, I said, I don't care what color he is. He's not getting my vote. If that's off in his moral compass, what the heck else is off? So I share that a lot more in that book, why I couldn't stay silent. And I continue to. I actually got to give it to the president. I got him to sign a copy. He took a picture with it. And so the doors that I believe God has opened for me in this sphere of really what I believe is you and I both, Alex, all of us, we're fighting for our country. We're fighting against the establishment that is trying to push us towards socialism, which would get us all in chains. And you know, black folks don't like chains, but I don't think anybody wants chains. So it's a fight that I'm honored to be a part of. And it's one that I will wage every day that I'm breathing.
You know, hearing David tell the story here, I don't even want to talk. I just want to be like, it's like watching a slam dunk in the NBA finals and your favorite team. You're just like, because it's just because seriously, though, David, it's true. And I always do this. It's like I like to relate it back to high school. And I try to impart this upon the youth, too. We have a really large youth viewership here on this show. There's a certain point in high school where you get over the popularity contest and you no longer think about what people think about you, what people are saying about you. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? You're not thinking about yourself. What's going to be the best for you? And as soon as you flick that switch, the whole world opens up to you. You start to get better grades. You start to learn more. You can study harder. You're going into whatever club you were afraid people would think. You're going and dating the girl you were worried people might judge you. You don't care. Your whole world opens up to you. And so when you originally came out, you made the viral video, like you said, with 14 minutes. I feel like that was the moment you broke the shackles on your mind. That was the moment you broke all those shackles that society was trying to place on you. And you said, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid to speak my mind. I'm not going to be afraid to let people know what I think. But then beyond that, not just the power of you breaking those shackles, but the power of you to inspire others to do the same thing, to have that self-realization, like you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be intimidated. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for what you believe in. And that's how you will spread that message and inspire others.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll share this really quick. Because of my heart for unborn babies and because of my heart for this president, as pro-life as he is, you know, one of the most amazing things that I try to tell everybody, so many people talk to me and they're like, how do I get started making videos? And I'm like, you just make them. You just record yourself and then you watch yourself. And then you get better and then you edit and you just keep doing it. You don't know which video is going to, you know, is going to break, you know, break loose, which one's going to go crazy. And you don't know what video is going to speak to somebody. I had the ability, the opportunity to hear from a friend of mine that heard that very first message that I shared on pro-life. And my wife also shared a very touching and very personal story that she'd never shared publicly before. That's also in my book as far as why she's pro-life. And my friend reached out to me a year later and he said, you know, I had a friend that was pregnant and contemplating having an abortion. And he said, I didn't know if what I would say would be good enough or if I have the right words to say. So I shared your video with her and I shared your wife's testimony with her. And he said, here's a picture of little baby Ian. She decided to have the baby. So you never know, Owen, what video you record or that you share is actually going to truly produce a miracle in somebody else's life. But the opportunity that we get to do this and that we all have the power and the potential to do it is something that I think we should all do.
That's absolutely amazing. The book, guys, pull that book back up if they want to read it for themselves. Truly inspiring here. And also his website. His website. It's davidjharrisjr.com, is it?
Yeah, either one. davidharrisjr.com is the website. I also recorded the narration for it. So if your viewers like Audible, you can get it on Audible, and it is me. It is me reading the book. So either one of those two, you can get on my website or get it there.
That's amazing, and you can also get the Unfair Old Trump banners too if you want to go troll. Yeah. So that's another thing.
On my website too.
All right, we got one more segment with David Harris Jr. Don't go anywhere. This is the InfoWars War Room. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
David Harris Jr., my guest. Follow him on Twitter at David J. Harris Jr. Website davidharrisjr.store. You can find the banners he unfurls there, his book as well, which he also did the audio taping of, so you can listen to it. I actually do prefer listening to books. I think it's maybe like an attention span thing that because I grew up with a TV in front of me. So it's all available there. I suggest you follow David Harris, a great follow. David, I don't know where I want to go. Part of me wants to go coronavirus with you, see what you think about that. Another part of me wants to stick with where we left off, which is just everything that Trump has done for America that the media ignores. And then it's like, as soon as you have a conversation with somebody, you could actually maybe even make them have an open mind. And so, you know, to me, that's really so important. That's why this discourse and all the censorship is so dangerous to me, because, you know, how, if they censor David Harris on the internet, well, how can David Harris influence potentially millions of people? That's the point. They don't want David Harris influencing people. They want Cardi B influencing people with her 10-inch nails. I don't even want to know how she is involved with proper hygiene in those things, okay? I mean, seriously, like, what the heck is that about? She's released a crazy video, by the way. That's why I'm thinking about it. But, you know, David, I want to say this, too, because you're talking about you're training people on how to shoot video or do social media content. I think the one thing I also try to tell people, too, is you may think you want to do videos. You may end up doing something else. You may think you want to do this. You may have to, but it's about putting your foot in the water. It's about diving in. It's about finding it out and then figuring out your space. I went and spoke at city council today. Individual comes up to me afterwards. He's like, hey, I'm working with a lot of business owners here in Austin. They own a lot of property downtown. We like the message that you just laid out about the homeless issue. Here's my phone number. Get in touch. Now, I don't have as much time to do activism stuff because I'm here on air, but who knows? Maybe you do one activism thing. You link up with the big business guy who wants to start doing activism, and now that's your path. So just talk about that, how just getting involved, diving in, that's how you figure out whether you sink or swim or do, you know, butterfly or freestyle or backstroke. You have to get in the water first.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You just got to do something. I mean, the one thing you can give to Nike is their slogan is great, just do it. And when it comes to being involved in this space that we are, which is fighting for our country and our future, just do something. Figure out what it is, and embrace as many different opportunities as you have to get familiarized with what's going on in your own area. You know, the president can do a lot from where he's at, but so much happens at the state and the local level. So many more people. I don't have as much time either. I'm on my own show at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. At davidharrisjr.com or David J. Harris Jr. on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So I'm home a lot in my studio for that. But for a lot of people, they may feel called or they may have the ability to get more plugged in to the local and state stuff and actually find out what's going on in your own local town and have some sway in there. Because the one thing that the left does do and the liberals do is they are activists and they will unite and they come together. And I don't care what city you're at in the country. Most cities definitely have some left leaning liberals that are trying to get into those local positions of power and authority so that they can have their say so over what happens in your own hometown. So you're absolutely right, Owen. Just whatever you're going to do, get involved and get active and do something, because we all need to. We all have to work together and try to fight what's trying to take place in our country.
This may be a bad example, but believe me, when I started in media, I was in sports media. If someone would have been like, hey, look, Schroyer, you're going to end up in politics, I might have died from laughter. I think I may have died because I had been laughing so hard. I would have been short on oxygen. Yet here I am, which brings me to, we do have all these sporting events being shut down. NBA suspend season, NHL suspend season, MLB's looking at suspending season. The NCAA basketball tournament's been canceled. Colleges are shutting down. So this is all happening. David, I've been on the fence with this thing. I feel like I'm walking a high wire, a tight wire with this coronavirus thing. Some days I'm like, wow, this could be really bad. Prepare for the worst. Other days I'm like, you know, this is just media hysteria like everything else they're doing to try to destroy Trump. I'm fluttering. I'm back and forth every day. It's just real here. We're not fake news. Where are you at right now with the coronavirus? Where do you worried, not worried, more hysteria, a real threat? Where does David Harris land?
Well, here's where I am. Again, because I am a believer and I have faith in my Papa God, and I have a relationship with my big brother, Jesus, who died to save me from myself and my sins, then I know where I'm going to go, regardless of if it's a virus or if it's a car accident or anything else. And I feel confident. I feel confident about that for my family as well. So I have peace. I walk in peace on a regular basis because of that faith. It gives me a lot of peace and rest to be able to do so. But at the same time, I'm also practical, and I try to walk with wisdom and intelligence. So I do understand that this virus, I believe that it is a threat. You know, it's funny. I think Gary Haven, he's a good personal friend of mine. I had a conversation with him earlier. I believe he was at your studio yesterday. I had a conversation with him today for about a half an hour. And what he shared with me opened my eyes even more to the real possible threat of this being something that is actually going to have a lot of damage in our country. Especially if we don't begin to do the things like you're saying, shutting down the big meeting gatherings, the self-quarantining that's going to take place. And we have to understand as well that so far it looks like those that are the most susceptible to severe illness or death from this are people with compromised immune systems, people that are battling anything else internally, and the elderly. But that's still people's grandmothers, grandpas. I mean, it's not a good thing, period. So, again, I'm walking with peace, but I'm trying to be smart and use wisdom. And at the same time, on a practical level, if what I'm hearing, what I heard today, even just from Gary that he shared with the governor of Texas yesterday and the co-chair of the RNC yesterday as well, which may have very well been why the president actually changed his tune in his address last night, getting that information. If Italy is any example of what could happen, then we could expect what is happening in Italy to happen here within the next 3 to 6 to 8 weeks, which means be smart, self-quarantine, get prepared, and pray, because we all gotta pray for peace of mind and for hopefully God to intervene in this thing, along with the government and taking actions and state and local officials taking actions to close down the opportunity for this thing to spread. It's gonna take its course, but the question is, when is it going to stop? And it'll stop when it stops spreading, and then it'll be over, and then we'll get through it, and then the economy will bounce back. But it's how much wake will it leave? How much devastation will it leave in its wake is the question. So, you know, I'm hopeful, but I'm also being smart and being very diligent to do what I can to keep myself and my family, my friends healthy and hopefully safe. So I think we're in for a bit of a ride. It's unfortunate to say, but if what we're hearing is accurate, and I have other sources other than just Gary as well, it's not just going to go away tomorrow.
You know, and that's just the one thing, too. I imagine we have a lot of similar sources, or at least we're getting similar intel on this. And basically the intel I'm getting is on the back end, like they're preparing for the worst. Like they're buying up everything they can: silver, iodine, emergency food. This is at the upper echelons of government. Like they're getting ready for this to be literally the worst pandemic in our lifetimes, not even close. But it's weird because on the front end, it seems like they're tiptoeing. It seems like they're not taking it very seriously. So you're kind of like, well, what's that about? Are you not trying to cause panic? Or are you not sure it's that bad? And so And that's why I'm kind of like fluttering here, too. And we know this again, whether the viral outbreak ends up being the worst or not so bad, they're using this to hurt Trump. They're using this to crash the economy. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. What the CDC, I believe, is either willfully, ignorantly holding back or purposely holding back. I think it is intended to hurt this president. And his legacy will be how this is handled. If this virus is something that turns into, I've heard it said, it's the Spanish flu. That was pretty devastating. It was 100 years or a little over 100 years ago. Then this president's legacy will be how he handles it. And I think he's handled it amazingly well. He took decisive actions early on to cut off the flow from people coming in from China. He's now done it with Europe. They can't call him a racist. He just put on a white travel ban.
Oh, don't tell him that.
What's that?
Don't tell him that. They'll call him a racist no matter what. There's black people in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, he's taking decisive actions as best he can to try to help keep the American people safe. I think at state levels that they need to also take actions. I think minimizing the large gatherings that are taking place is a positive thing, because if this thing can stand outside of the body, and live outside of a host for 17 days, I've heard, and or also the potential that it's airborne, then the only way to make sure that it stops is if we quarantine ourselves and we're not in large gatherings. So I'm doing what I can to be smart and be safe and take my vitamins. And at the same time,
yeah, no doubt about that. Build up that immune system. David Harris at David J Harris Jr. on Twitter. That's where you can find his content. There's his website, DavidHarrisJr.store. You can shop as well. Thank you, David.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to squeeze in a couple phone calls here. Let's go to Joe in Florida. Joe, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Orange Beach, Alabama. Work here, live in Florida. And it's spring break right now, but it's pretty slow. So I don't know if it's the stock market or the virus or probably both, but it definitely affects us. But that's not why I called. I'm calling just because it's March Madness, and madness in many ways, not just basketball, but madness in this virus and what's going on with the athletics and all the entertainment shutting down. But I want to say something positive about it. Hopefully, you know, all the time of distraction, time of leisure time and sitting in front of your tube and watching the basketball, you know, maybe people will look into this virus more deeper, try to understand it, and get on the anti-globalist side and see why it doesn't work. And you know, maybe more of awakening will we can, you know, benefit from that.
Yeah, you know, that is a good question. What happens to the sports world or the sports fan that spends 10 hours a day in the sports matrix? Very good point. If it's anything like me, they're going to end up at InfoWars. They're going to end up at Drudge. Yeah. They're going to end up looking into this stuff. Yeah.
I've got one more thing, too. My coworker brought this up today too, and she said, well, maybe it'll be like a second baby boom because we'll have nothing else to do.
Oh yeah, in December, get ready.
Possibly. But it's talking about YouTube and finding people. Let me give a shout out to Peak Prosperity and Paul Cottrell. They're two people I've been kind of following, you know, along with the InfoWars, but they seem like they're ahead of the game as well.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for the call. I apologize to callers. I'm going to try to get all you guys. No new callers. You've been holding all day. I didn't know Milo was going to be in studio today, so I kind of lost that time to take your calls. I'm going to do as much as I can to get to your calls, though, so just bear with us. Let's now go to Nick in Michigan. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Owen, you're able to hear me now?
Yep.
I always call and have trouble. Okay. Long-time fan of yours. I've been listening since you guys started the show. I try to listen every day. Shout out to Mr. Roger Stone, I have to say that much. I just want to point out, I am the guy I called in and spoke to you before about that close family member that tried to take extra protection in the hospital. They like draw blood every day, and they had their boss come in and tell them, you know, not to wear that protection. And it was, in fact, over, you know, patients complaining over just like not knowing, you know, why that was being done. And that was right before all this really broke on the news. Because, you know, we're kind of awake, quote unquote, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it. So we were kind of paying attention to all this and taking precautions beforehand. And so far, not sick or anything, but still not able to wear a mask or even, you know, something like that in the hospital right now, which is kind of a joke.
But yeah, so, that's my point exactly. It's like the basic stuff that we should be doing on the front end. Hey, wear masks. Hey, get tested. Do we need to suspend travel? It's like we're not doing these things, but like big back end stuff like suspend whole seasons, you know. It's crazy.
Can I say something about Trump? My opinion on, I mean, since he's got in, it's what I've felt about it is kind of, you could draw a comparison to, they have him on an island, you know, getting information to him, getting the facts to him. They got him on an isolated island. And I think when you tiptoe it down to, in the truth about 9/11, he knew what happened. He said it on that day that the planes needed to have explosives in them to even enter the building, geoengineering. That's the other thing that I feel like he needs to hit that topic before I even want to vote.
You know, I wonder, because you're 100% right about 9/11. He called it out that day. He knows the whole thing is a lie, folks. He knows the whole thing is a lie. He knows it. I mean, you can't even deny it. But he plays along with it. Is he playing along with it, or is he just giving up the fight, at least on that regard? And then it's like, I mean, how deep does this really go? I mean, look, I'm not trying to get all Q or conspiratorial here, but, like, people, I mean, it just... You know it's all connected. You know Trump is against this criminal cabal that's international, trying to enslave the world. But how much is it? Is that how much is real? Sorry, guys. I have a buddy who's at Disney World, and he's listening. He's like, what? They shut down Disneyland. He's been trying to get in touch with me, so I just took a second to call him in the break. And he's like, by the way, they're letting us know, and I'm going to touch base with him later. He's like, they're saying at Disney World, they're like, we're taking extra preventative cautions for coronavirus, and there's going to be hand sanitizer and gloves and all this stuff. And he's been walking around. He's like, there's no hand sanitizer. There's no wipes. There's nothing. But they just shut down Disneyland. So, look, the whole thing is just crazy, man. I don't even know. I really don't at this point. Part of me wants to just put a middle finger in the air and say, you know what, I'm going to fly around and travel. Screw you. Then the other part of me is like, you know what, be smart. Don't be an obstinate, you know, arrogant, you know what. Be smart. Settle in. Take care of yourself. Make sure you don't catch it. I tend to, you know, be the more obstinate, put the middle finger to the establishment and ride type of guy. But we'll get Tom Papert's take on this. I am dying right now for a cup of InfoWars coffee. Okay. I am dying right now for, I think it may be being delivered right now. I'm literally dying. Tom, I don't know if I'm going, Sam again, Sam for the win. He's our token indigenous. Yeah, you like that. Tom, I need to take a drink of this coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. If you notice, this is a fresh brew. Steam is still coming off of it. This is the Patriot Blend Mild from InfoWarsStore.com. My favorite coffee, bold flavor, but very smooth in the finish. Not overwhelming. Gives me good energy that I like to get from coffee. Tastes great. I'm going to enjoy a little bit of this Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. On sale now, folks. Shop today. Tom, why don't you let us know what's going on at National File and your thoughts on this coronavirus while I enjoy my Patriot Blend, Wake Up America, 100% organic coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. Tom, tape it away.
Well, it is very good coffee. Anytime I'm down there in studio, I get to partake, and it is far and above.
Yeah, we almost had to cut Tom off last time. He had a whole pot.
It was getting close. It was getting close. I appreciate that you didn't, though. But it is fantastic coffee. I mean, just backing up what you were saying, I have a friend right now who is on a trip. He got a round-trip ticket for him and his wife to go from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Houston, Texas, $75 for that airfare right now. So part of me is with you. And last night, before Trump cut off travel to Europe, I was like, maybe we should go to Barcelona. Tucker said you can do it for $500. It's not a bad idea. But, you know, really this whole scare, and I tend to agree with you. I think that it's not going to kill as many people as it's being hyped up to. But what the hype is going to do, I mean, we've seen the bizarre toilet paper holding. We've seen that you can no longer buy hand sanitizer in stores. Just for fun, last night I was on Amazon just seeing what is and is not available. And I mean, it is shocking to see what you can no longer get. You can get barely any canned food unless you want to subsist on Vienna sausages for the entire apocalypse. You can get barely any hand sanitizer on Amazon. I think I found one link where you could actually get hand sanitizer. It is absolutely nuts. And what this is going to do is create a big breakdown in the supply chain. That's how come Alex, 2 months ago, that's how come we at National File interviewed My Patriot Supply, because you need storable food if it's not going to be at the store. It's not just worrying about being sick and not allowed out or not able or being quarantined and not able to go to the store. At this point, it's what happens when you go to the store and it looks like Venezuela and all that's left is a can of sardines and some single ply toilet paper. That's what we might be looking at here. But, you know, it is interesting, Owen, while you're drinking your coffee, that President Trump left Great Britain out of this little dragnet travel ban. And I'm questioning, I mean, I want to say that the populist governments around the world, and I think Boris Johnson is still included in that category, are doing a good job of this, but it certainly doesn't seem so. So we have a reporter here at National File. I believe you met him. His name is Jack Hadfield. He was all over CPAC networking, getting business cards, getting stories. I think he wrote 6 or 7 original stories at CPAC. And ever since he got on the plane to go back to the UK from the United States, so he'd been in America for about 5 days at CPAC, where an infected doctor was there, Jack has been hacking up a lung. He's barely been able to work. He can't sleep. He's had a fever. And the NHS, the wonderful British socialized medicine, has repeatedly delayed his test. They say, yes, you need to be tested for coronavirus. Self-quarantine until we can test you. He will call you on Monday. Well, they don't call him on Monday. He calls them on Tuesday. We'll continue to self-quarantine. You do need to be tested. We'll get with you on Thursday. Well, he calls them on Thursday. No response. Finally, they just say, well, just be on standby. We'll call you next Monday. So this is weeks going by. If this guy got coronavirus, or if he had coronavirus before he ever even came to the United States, then there was more than just one infected person at CPAC. And there was somebody at both National File events where, of course, you spoke, Owen. I mean, it is an absolute charade what's happening right now. And this tells me, I mean, I'm hoping, maybe I'm being optimistic here, that the actual virus is not the threat. If it were a big threat, then they would be testing Jack Hadfield. They would be getting him into a hospital to make sure he's not breathing on people. He could be walking the streets of London right now doing whatever he wants. He's in a self-quarantine. And instead, it's, no, 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 we'll get to you next week. Just stay inside, stay indoors, order some takeout. It'll be fine. So I think, Owen, that the big fear here is the panic buying. It is the supply structure, the supply chain being destroyed. It is panic leading people to do stupid things. We have an article up about people panic buying ammunition because of coronavirus. We're getting public events canceled in Wichita, Kansas, of all places, tiny little city, 400,000 people. You've got police enforcing the quarantine with drones in Italy. I mean, it's totally and completely bizarre the behavior that not just individuals, but police and governments are taking to try to contain this thing. And then you look at the actual numbers and it just doesn't seem commensurate.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up with about Jack, too, because, again, it's like on the front end, they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing. Like you said, like, oh, no big deal. Like, self-quarantine, order some takeout. Order takeout? If this virus was so bad, you should be shutting down takeout. You shouldn't be encouraging ordering takeout. Plus, you still got to get it from the door. And so it's weird. It's like, oh, yeah, is it really that bad? You would go to his house. You would have the kids. But then on the back end, and I don't know, you know, what sources you're talking to. David Harris alluded to this a little bit, and I just don't talk about it too much because I don't want to be a part of the paddock. But let me tell you, on the back end, governments and bureaucracies are preparing for the worst. I mean, they really are buying up silver, all of this stuff. It's wild, getting ready for the worst. But on the front end, it's like, self-quarantine or, you know, whatever, order some takeout. We'll call you Monday. Monday pass. We'll call you next week. Next week pass. Maybe next month, you know, whatever. It's like, what? Is it really that bad? You would be freaking out if it was. But that's amazing. So I actually noticed that too. You brought up with the flying. I noticed it. I think I talked about it last week. I was like, holy smokes. Because I was looking at some vacations. Man, you can fly about anywhere in the country right now for like $100. Airbnb's cheap as hell. Hotels slashed.
Oh, it's absolutely unbelievable. And again, it all comes down to, I really do believe that this virus, don't get me wrong, I don't want people to get sick. People need to be washing their hands. If you can get hand sanitizer, use it. Stay indoors. Keep your elderly parents and grandparents indoors if you can. Tell them to get 3 months supplies of whatever prescription drugs they may need. All these are good precautions. But I think the real panic here, the real issue here is going to be the panic. I think people are going to lose their minds. I think that this is the globalist. You know, we've tried a million different ways to take down Trump. We've tried impeachment. We've tried sex scandals. scandals. We've tried everything and you can imagine. Well, the one thing they haven't tried is a pandemic. So they seem to be doing a fantastic job of hyping this up. And again, I think they're going to get more than they bargained for. I think that they're going to get people panic buying. I think they're going to get riots in the streets. I think you're going to get mass exoduses from cities. I hope that doesn't happen, but I think that's the real reality that people need to be prepared for here, not getting sick.
No, I agree. That's kind of been my fear. And then the government crackdown with whatever happens on the other side. But, you know, in some sort of weird yin-yang karmic universe that we live in, everything the deep state globalists have done to try to bring Trump down has backfired in their face. And so I think that this is, you're going to see elements of this again. Oh, in fact, I have this new story on my desk. President Trump, White House confirms executive order that will end medical supply chain reliance on China. So there's one right there. There's a total victory from this right there. All because of the coronavirus hysteria. Tom Papert, National File, is with us. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Nuts. It is absolutely nuts. Coronavirus hysteria. I don't want to be rude to people. It's just sometimes, it's like I tend to go the opposite way of dumbassery. It's like whenever I see dumbassery, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to steer clear of that. And I don't want to be insensitive, but like they keep saying, stop saying it's the flu. It kills old people. The flu kills 60,000 senior citizens a year. It's exactly what the flu does. What do you mean? Don't say it's the flu. It kills all. Well, I mean, so it's just like, that's like dumbassery where I'm like, okay, I'm going back over here. Again, though, I don't want to discount this and then be the guy that's like, see, Owen was wrong. The virus is really bad. Plus, if it's a bioweapon, who knows what the second, third stage of this could be. That's why we, you know, see what's happening in Italy. But I don't want to live my life in fear. I've never done that. I've always been the guy that gives the middle finger to the establishment and you know, revs the engine. So it's just crazy out there with all the hysteria. But at the back end of it, you know they just want to get Trump with it. So Tom Papert is with us. We're about to take some phone calls, but let's go back to Tom real quick. I mean, this is a victory. This is a silver lining of the coronavirus. Buy American. White House confirms executive order that will end medical supply chain reliance on China. Huge. The president got us off relying on China for steel. That if there was a real virus, that would save us. The president made us oil independent. We're producing more oil than ever before. Thank you, President Trump. If there was a big pandemic and global trade lines were shut down, we're good. And now we're going to try to stop the reliance on China. Another huge victory, a silver lining victory here.
Well, you're totally right about that. I mean, I've seen several prominent blue checkmark liberals on Twitter now admitting that they were totally wrong on the issue of trade and that it's a horrible, horrible idea to be completely dependent on a communist country that hates us, that is currently threatening us, to that they're not going to give us the drugs we need. It's a terrible idea to be dependent on these people. I mean, they're eating bat soup over there. They eat dogs. They eat cats. We've had how many different viruses come out of China? Nothing against the Chinese people. I probably would resort to some crazy diets too if I were on a steady diet of socialism and communism, but the fact is that it's a horrific idea to be dependent on these people. The great fantasy back in the 70s was that, you know, we're going to open up China and we're going to give them capitalism and then they're going to change and they're going to be just like us. They're going to have Thomas Jefferson. It's going to be the Federalist Papers. It's going to be great. And instead, what's happened is they figured out how to turn into really a mercantilist country where they've combined aspects of socialism and aspects of capitalism or fascism, and they figured out how to game the West, how to steal all of our money, send us crap, send us medicines that may or may not be what they are at face value. There's been 100 different cases now of people getting hurt by the medicines they get from China. So it's a horrible idea. It's been horrible from the start. President Trump has been totally vindicated. He's been saying this since 1987 when he published The Art of the Deal, that we cannot depend on China. And he's right. So I think you're right. So long as nothing bad happens because of a media sponsor censored hysteria. I think you're totally in the right. This is going to be a net positive for President Trump. I certainly hope that we can minimize the people who are sick and who die from this. It's heartbreaking. But like you said, it fundamentally isn't that different from the flu. More people get infected and the mortality rate, everybody likes to say 30 to 50 times higher. Well, what they don't tell you is you're talking the difference between like 0.1 and 1%, or if you're older, 0.3 and 3%. So you're still talking an extremely small number of people. My heart goes out to them. I hope we can get a treatment plan that works. But, you know, we're not talking about Ebola in the streets of Manhattan.
Why aren't they? Because this is my response to that, because they'd say, well, Owen, this is more deadly. This is spreading quicker. OK, fair enough. Why? Why? Is it a bioweapon? Was it designed to do that? Why? We don't get answers. Let's take a call with Tom Papert. Jeff in Canada. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for taking my call. I got 2 points, and the second point is going to be about defending the First Amendment in the middle of all this. But I'm going to disagree with a lot of the analysis so far. I have a wife with a compromised immune system, so I've really been following this. Italy, on February 28th, had under 1,000 cases. Today, they have 15,000, and their entire country is shut down. The U.S. had 63 cases on that day, and today they have 1,400. The trajectory is the same, and the response was the same for early diagnosing this and the quarantine issue. Successful countries that have been able to deal with this, like Korea, Taiwan, they were able to put a fence around this. And I think we need to think of this like a forest fire. If you have containment, you can deal with it a lot better than if it's raging. And one of the things that is critical to understand here is in Italy, and if you go watch the videos from the doctors and the head people who are handling it, they describe it like a bomb going off. There's senior citizens in the hallways that should be in intensive care that are dying alone on their own because nobody else can go in there but healthcare workers. Healthcare workers are working 16 to 20 hours a day. They're starting to break down mentally from all the death. And this is Italy. This is a first-class health system that just was behind the containment wall on this. And we have to really think of it in terms of
Hold on a second, Jeff, because I don't want to discount what you're saying here, but I'd rather have you be a little more detailed or specific. Look, I see what's happening in Italy. What do you think we should do then? I'm saying if you really think that, shouldn't we be just suspending all travel right now, doing like a full lockdown right now if we really think it's going to get that bad?
I really think we should. I think, the epidemiologists who are talking about this, who really understand it, the Mike Adams, and I listen to a lot. There's a guy on Peak Prosperity website. I would encourage people to understand exponential growth because what's happening here is like the forest fire. If you leave it too long, it's out of control and it's raging. And what ends up happening, what's going to end up happening if we don't get containment of this is we're going to throw our seniors under the bus and we're going to throw our healthcare workers under the bus. And they're experiencing healthcare system collapse right now in Italy. So the United States is 2 weeks behind on the trajectory of this. So is France, so is Germany, so is Spain. This is happening. And people.
So then why don't you think there's a bigger response to this from the government? Are they waiting for it to get worse to then cause more panic or why? Why do you think that is?
I think that they're trying to crash land the plane in the river as far as the economy goes. And I think they're staging up their understanding of it. I think there was bad advice from the beginning, which Mike Adams has said. And so now, all of a sudden, everything's being canceled in a couple of days. Like, look what's happened in 2 days. And now everything's being canceled. Whether this came from bat soup or some other bio lab or whatever, at this point, it doesn't matter. The deep state is not going to waste the crisis.
Well, in some ways, it doesn't, but it does because how can we know what it is unless we know its origins? I mean, so to me, it actually really does. But great call, Jeff. Thanks for the call. 30 seconds, Tom. You want to respond?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree that it could be extremely severe, and my heart goes out to you. I hope it sounds like you're a smart guy. You know how to keep your wife safe. I would just point out Italy has one of the oldest populations in Europe, as does Japan, as does many other countries, and that is definitely a factor with the deaths. Again, I hope everything goes well, Owen. I hope that I hope our caller is wrong. I hope that the people saying it's just the flu are right. But I think the number one thing everyone needs to do is be rational and prepare.
We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
There's honestly so many different angles to this coronavirus outbreak. My head is spinning like a top. And I'm getting so dizzy, I feel like I have the coronavirus. But one angle that's kind of going uncovered that I was made privy to about 2 days ago, just in a general sense, Harrison Smith is going to get into the more detailed sense of it, how what it looks like, informed, educated people think what happened was in October, they released a bioweapon when there were war drills in Wuhan. The timeline, it adds up. And so Harrison Smith is going to get into what Event 201 is and the potential criminal conspiracy that went on there that has led to this coronavirus outbreak. But, you know, I will say this, too. It is odd because I'm actually winding the clock back because this happened back in October, that what Harrison's about to talk about. But how is it? Because remember, this started in Wuhan, okay? China was covering this thing up and lying about it for months. For months. And we're going to sit here and point the finger at Donald Trump? Why isn't the UN going in and getting Xi out of power? I mean, so it's just like, it's just another example. China could hack up and murder children in the street, Muslim-born kids, and say, we hate Muslims, and chop all their heads off. They could roll out a bunch of gay people, chop off their heads. We hate gays. And the media wouldn't say boo. The UN wouldn't say anything. What the hell is that? China gets to have the most carbon emissions in the world. It exposes the new world order, folks. It exposes how China was being turned into the manufacturing hub, no wage laws, basically slave labor, take all your production, do it there, and then turn all these other countries into this other stuff. So it's really exposing globalism, quite frankly, this coronavirus thing, but it's so complex. It's really still hard to understand, even though it's right in front of your face. It's like that old art, Harrison. Do you remember this? I forget what it was called, but it was just like a mesh of colors and stuff. And you had to focus really hard.
Oh, yeah. The magic eye.
And you could only see it. It was a mesh of colors and stuff. You'd be like, there's nothing there. Then you focus and it's like, oh, my gosh, that's a mountain with a, you know, a dragon or something. It's like, but you had to focus really hard. That's like what we're looking at right now with this new world order, globalization, and the coronavirus. But talk about Event 201, what it is, why it's important.
Yeah, that's actually a great metaphor you're using, because with the magic eye, the more you sort of focus and try to see it, you don't see it. You kind of have to defocus your eyes.
Like, and let allow, it come to you.
Yeah, allow it all to come in at once. And so Event 201 was this event in October of 2019 that seemingly predicted the coronavirus basically to a T. I mean, literally.
It's like how they were doing 9/11 drills before 9/11.
Yeah.
To blame Bin Laden.
And so sort of the realization I came to today was that, okay, you had this event where you had, and I'll read it here, is Event 201 was a 3.5-hour pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated series of dramatic scenario-based facilitated discussions confronting difficult, true-to-life dilemmas associated with response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible pandemic. 15 global business, government, and public health leaders were players in the simulation exercise that highlighted unresolved real-world policy and economic issues that could be solved with sufficient political will, financial investment, and attention now and in the future. So essentially just very important people, the world controllers, if you will, got together and they did this simulated virus outbreak. And tried to figure out, you know, how do we contain this? How do we deal with something like this? If it were to pop up, you know, 2 months from now, right? So they predict it perfectly. Now, of course, if you were to go ask factcheck.com, they make it very clear the new coronavirus wasn't predicted in a simulation. I mean, sure, you can go and watch the videos and watch them talk about it and look at the simulation maps that start in China and spread across the world in perfect parallel with what's actually happening now. But
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation spreading vaccines, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation saying we're going to give you coronavirus home testing, Bill Gates saying on TED Talks we need to get the population down to zero, Bill Gates saying in 2017 we're facing a bioweapon epidemic. Oh, no. Don't talk about that.
Yeah, so they got together and learned. Okay, so what you're seeing now on screen, if you're a television viewer, is the real outbreak map, right? And you'll see it's going kind of slow. We're ticking through about a day every second or so. And you can see as it spreads out from China, out through the rest of Southeast Asia, jumps over to United States and Europe, and continues to spread from there. So this is the real corona outbreak. This is what actually happened. This is just a measurement of the reported cases worldwide. Now let's go to the video just before that, guys, that says simulation, because this was the simulation that was put out as part of Event 201. As you can see, starts in China, spreads across the world. And as you can see, this one's going much faster. It actually goes through about a month every 3 seconds. But once again, it begins in China. It spreads out from there. It's basically picture perfect, the exact, you know, if you were to overlay these two maps, it's pretty much exactly what you'd expect, although they may have been a little bit more pessimistic. Their death totals are slightly higher. But of course, we don't know the real death
totals
from places like China.
For Bill Gates. That's optimistic.
Right. In his mind, that's optimistic. And so the real question is, okay, if we were so capable of predicting this, if we were so aware of exactly how this would happen, and in fact, during the simulation, what they came out with was about 65 million people were going to die. So if you have the simulation of a real world event that was about to happen in which 65 million people died, you'd think you'd be a little bit more prepared for when it actually happened, right? If our world elites, if the people, you know, who control these things, who are in charge of the World Health Organization and the media and all these other things, if they get together and want to plan for a pandemic and go, how are we going to deal with this once it happens? And then they actually come out with some good material and actually put into place, all right, guys, you know, this is going to be intense. So the minute something pops off, we got to shut down borders right now. That would be the first obvious thing to do, right? Well, they don't do that. What they focused on was how to manipulate the media, how to stop conspiracy theories from coming out. In fact, I want to go to this video. It's that first video, guys. We'll start at about a minute in and just listen to the way they talk about this. So they all get together. They plan for this pandemic that they either know or don't know or are just incredibly capable at predicting is going to happen very shortly. And this is what they're worried about. Not saving lives, but this.
A recent riot highlights the real danger in these posts. Countries are reacting in different ways as to how best to manage the overwhelming amounts of dis and misinformation
circulating over the internet. This is a fake news report from Event 201.
In some cases, limited internet shutdowns are being implemented to quell panic.
Thank you, Catalina. For more on this, we are joined by experts on crisis communications and social media, Kevin McAleese and Sarah Lee.
To me, it is clear countries need to make strong efforts to manage both mis and disinformation. We know social media companies are working around the clock to combat these disinformation campaigns.
Yeah, it's called
GNN. The task of identifying every bad actor is immense. And experts agree that new disinformation campaigns are being generated every day. This is a huge problem that's going to keep us from ending the pandemic and might even lead to the fall of governments, as we saw in the Arab Spring. If the solution means controlling and reducing access to information, I think it's the right choice.
I agree with Kevin. This is a big problem and doesn't even account for the massive amounts of misinformation being generated by legitimate users about the pandemic. But it's not.
So this is what they're worried about. This, when the globalists get together and plan for a pandemic that they happen to be incredibly proficient at predicting and knowing exactly how it's going to unfold, what they're worried about is not how do we save lives, how do we, prevent this from spreading across borders, how do we, how do we stockpile food so people aren't running to the street. No, they don't worry about that. What they worry about is, hey, if it's a question between shutting down the internet or not, I say we shut down the internet. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about protecting themselves. They're worried about protecting the flow of information and seemingly perhaps, controlling exactly what people think about this virus so they can, have their will with it, have their will succeed in the outbreak of the virus.
You know, the more I see this, the more it really feels like a global 9/11. The prediction, the exercises. I mean, folks, if you go back and look at 9/11, they literally ran exercises about Osama bin Laden planning attacks to run planes to the Twin Towers. I mean, the exact event that happened. I mean, this is what we're seeing again. And Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with their fingerprints all over it. How is that guy not being drugged into an investigation inquiry? I mean, this is a joke. So, I don't know how deadly it really is or what that, but I mean, this is clearly orchestrated. This has clearly been manufactured. This is clearly to get Trump and crash the U.S. economy, folks, clearly.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
They brag about 1,500 viral strains being in this Wuhan lab. Harrison has another story. So it's like all the clues are this is the Wuhan virus. It started there. It's a flu bug, COVID-19, the 19th strain. Is it bioengineered? Is it a bioweapon? What is the real effect? What is the real purpose? But you were saying you found something else that's eye-opening that came out of that same region.
Yeah, and this is a story from 2015, but before I go to it, I want to sort of address this, and I'll be hosting the War Room on Monday, and I plan to do a whole segment on this because I thought it was really amazing. I don't even know how to say this. So I was overhearing some people that aren't quite as involved in the news as we are, and I was shocked at what they thought about the coronavirus. And I was just listening in, you know, not saying anything because I didn't want to. Well, actually, here's what's happening. I was just like, I'm going to sit back and see what they're saying. And it was like, you know, one of them didn't even know it came from China. One person, you know, they had a vague idea about like something about bat soup and didn't really know. And it was like, I was just like, wow, you forget, you know, if you just watch Fox News and CNN, like you don't know where it came from, how it started, what the risks are, the mutations, the HIV strains within it. Like you don't know any of this. So it's, you know, I was like, man, when I host the War Room, I'm going to like, first of all, do a like, here's what you should know about the coronavirus for everybody who know nothing about it. But then one of the people talking was like, yeah, you know, they're saying it might be like a bioengineered thing that like escaped a lab. And there was just like a long silence. And it was just like, yeah, I heard that's a conspiracy theory. And you just know that's going to be the response, right? Mm-hmm. You just know that like you can say things and no matter how much proof you have, if people have not been programmed to accept it, they're just going to assume that it's fake, assume that it's a conspiracy. So again, I didn't say anything and I just sat back and I thought, you know, all right, if they go to look this up, what are they going to find? So I just searched coronavirus lab. And of course, the first thing that comes up is, you know, strangely, all of these stories came out on the 6th of this of March 6th, all these stories came out saying the coronavirus, look at these conspiracy theories. We're going to debunk all the conspiracy theories. And it would list out, it would go, some people think the coronavirus came from an asteroid. Some people think there is no virus and it's just 5G. And some people think it comes from a lab. And it's like, let's take a step back and think, is one of these more realistic than the others? Or can we just dump all of these into conspiracy theory and just go, look, if you believe that it came from a lab, despite the fact that there is a lab in Wuhan that comes out with these, that it, you know, it came from all the proof about it being lab made, is that just as, you know, crazy as it came from an asteroid? Of course not. But this is what we just saw with Event 201. They knew before it ever started, they were going to come out and combat this disinformation, even though apparently they didn't know any of this was going to happen. They already had these plans to come out with these stories, lumping all these conspiracy theories together,
but that's my
calling
point.
It crazy.
What are they claiming the origin is? They deny it comes from China. So what's the origin? What is this thing? What is COVID-19? Okay. Why does it have the... And it's just like, what do they think? It's like a unicorn fart?
I think I might have an answer for you. This is the article we were talking about earlier from nature.com from 2015. The headline, Engineered Bat Virus Stirs Debate Over Risky Research. The article reads, an experiment that created a hybrid version of a bat coronavirus, one related to the virus that causes SARS, has triggered renewed debate over whether engineering lab variants of viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risks. So it's like, this is not pie in the sky, some like, you know, wacky conspiracy theory. In 2015, they were saying, hey, should we really be doing this? You know, there's a risk of pandemic breaking out because we're engineering these viruses. Should we be worried about that? And of course, at the time, they, no, forget it. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's fine. We can trust the Chinese and their manufacturing prowess, right? Everything that comes out of China is done with perfect quality and control. We know that they're very honest people. Their government would never lie about what's going on and trick people and, you know, lead us down a path where suddenly we have a pandemic worldwide. That would never happen. Continue experimenting, please. Please continue experimenting. So the idea that this is just some wild-eyed conspiracy theory is really insane.
Well, and again, it's like the media hyping it, like they're making the big deal, the charts are up. So it's like, okay, you just think it's like, what do you think it is then? It's like they're hyping it up. They're the ones showing the graphs. So it's just like, oh, well, you know. But if you say, oh, it's just the flu, how dare you say it's just the flu? This is serious. It's killing everybody. It's the worst thing ever. Oh, okay. Well, what is up with this? Did it come out of a bio lab here? Don't say it came out of a bio lab. How dare you say it? Well, it's like, who are you? Where do you fall on this issue? It's like, I just can't even make any sense of it. And now I'm wondering, too, it's like, did China just release this on their own people to distract from Hong Kong, distract from Taiwan, maybe even do a little population control, a little more crackdown, a little more fear? And then just naturally it spreads. We don't get the questions answered that we need. All we get is hysteria and confusion, which leads to panic.
Yeah.
And people thinking toilet paper, like, I'm going to go get 10,000 rolls of toilet paper. What?
Yeah, you're going to feel real dumb in about a month when you don't have any toilet paper.
I have toilet paper. See, that's the thing. Like, I'll be honest. I prepared for basically, I have 2 weeks worth of stuff that I wouldn't even have to go into my emergency food supply. I've got, like, okay, quarantine 2 weeks. I'm good, everything, toilet paper. And then if that's worse, then I've got like my 6 month supply. If I have to, you know, hopefully I don't need any of it. I don't know, man. It's just like, I'm still in between, man.
No, but it is, it's the panic and the fear and the, you know, sort of hopeless response that is really what's going to allow the people who want to put in controls over humanity, who want to be able to vaccinate us all, who want martial law,
yep,
who want all these things.
They want you afraid to leave your house.
Yeah, this is the perfect excuse. People will be clamoring for it. I mean, look at what we're seeing now, this absolute riot. I think this is in a German grocery store,
yeah,
where people are just insane. And this is like, you know, nobody they know is sick. Nobody around them is being quarantined. But this is just the response, you know, at a base fear level. Fear is the mind killer. We need to just understand what we're dealing with, understand how to deal with it. And, you know, hopefully you've been prepared this whole time. So you're not, and that's what I always say, right? Is like, anytime I'm talking about the prepared food or any sort of preparedness items from InfoWarsStore.com, I'm always like, it's going to be too late once you need them. Get them now. I know you don't need them now. Get them now, because when you need them, they will not be available anymore. So don't wait until the panic hits. Get them now. And that's what people are seeing here, is just absolute panic as people scramble to buy all sorts of stuff because they weren't prepared beforehand.
Yeah. And ammo sales obviously up too, toilet paper and everything. Harrison Smith is still broken up. He was planning on going to the Ellen DeGeneres show. They had to cancel that. He's breaking down right in front of our eyes. Let's squeeze in a couple calls. I'm sorry I couldn't take more, folks. You just know how it is. I apologize. Let's go to John in Virginia. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Owen. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I actually wanted to talk about this earlier this week, but you didn't really touch on it today, but it was about the 2020 election. And I know, like, some people, I feel like I'm in the minority about this, but I know people like Candace Owens and Governor Mike Huckabee were saying that Trump was going to win in a landslide, but I don't really see it. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Trump organically in a real world wins in a landslide. We live in a rigged world. We live with fake news, and they're going to try to crush the economy. That's Trump's biggest thing right now. If they collapse this economy and cause a recession, they'll use that against Trump. Most people vote with their wallets. That could hurt Trump in the general. But we're so far away from that still. A lot could happen between now and then. Let's squeeze in one more caller. Todd in North Carolina. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Owen, I want to talk about the real crisis that happened a couple of months ago. It wasn't with all the TP that had disappeared. It was the TF that was gone.
Okay, go ahead.
The Turbo Force, brother.
Now that's well said. The Turbo Force is back in stock.
Well, I tell you what, it was a close one. I've called in before about my son using the Turbo Force for a swim meet. Mm. We were down to a packet and a half.
No, but, you can't have that.
But I abstained, and I let him use the Turbo Force, and he dropped time in all his events. So there's a plug for
that's Turbo awesome. Force. And with swimming, it's hard to drop time in competition too.
Yeah. He had a great meet. We were thrilled. But on a more serious note, if you look at the timing of this coronavirus, trying to look at it in a positive light. The timing of when it happened, what are we in the second quarter of the year? When the financial crisis of 2008 happened, the banker bailout, that was right before the fourth quarter. And that was devastating. I had a small business at the time, and it was a retail business, and just about everybody I worked with went out of business.
No, I remember that. And wasn't it, was that right on the heels of, the New Orleans hurricane, right?
That was a little before. That was in 2005, I believe.
Because they used that to try to destroy Bush. I'm not saying he handled it well. I'm just saying it's kind of the same vein. Todd, thank you so much. Harrison Smith, thank you so much. David Harris, Tom Papert, Milo Yiannopoulos, all the great guests, all the great callers. I wish I could have taken more calls. All right. The coronavirus clock ticks on. Oh, big news from Alex Jones coming soon. Stay tuned to Band.Video.
Everybody's calling me. I'm getting...